Who can live without hope? He's 19 years of age, intelligent, strong, handsome. But this past Tuesday, his picture of the future went blank. And he took more than enough pills to fall asleep and never wake up. Few people can live long without imagining a better future than the present. It seems we are programmed to anticipate the future. We look forward to the end of the day. We anticipate the weekend. We can hardly wait for the end of the semester. We think if we can get through this period of time or we can get past this experience, then everything will be better. And in our better moments, when we think thoughts larger than merely about ourselves, we want to anticipate a brighter and better future for all humanity. Through all history, men and women have dreamed large dreams of the future, a future better than the present. John Lennon captured that hope many years ago in this song entitled Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there are no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, no religion to. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger. A brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. I can easily fault John Lennon's theology, but I can't miss his desire. A desire shared, I think, by all of us who look beyond our present circumstances, and a desire shared by all of us who look beyond the circumstances and the present condition of this world. You know, down through history, people have tried to shape the future. Woodrow Wilson's League of Nations, Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal, Lyndon Johnson's Great Society, and the list goes on. It seems that that dream of a better future than the present is something that will not die. But is such hope justified, or is it just unquenchable human fantasy? We've hoped so much. We've hoped for so long. To what end? Wars still erupt with, it seems, ever-increasing frequency. Human suffering continues unabated. Prior to World War II, even many Christians thought that the entire world was going to get better and better until finally that great peace and prosperity was ushered in to mankind. But as the evils of Hitler's concentration camps were beginning to be discovered, one German pastor wrote these words. Who today can utter the words human progress without getting a flat taste in his mouth? Who can still believe today that we are developing toward a state in which the kingdom of God reigns in the world of nations, in culture, and in the life of the individual? The earth has been plowed too deeply by the curse of war. The streams of blood and tears have swollen all too terribly. Injustice and bestiality have become all too cruel and obvious for us to consider such dreams to be anything but bubbles and froth. Is that it? Do we stop dreaming? Do we stop hoping? I ask, what's your picture of the future? Is it simply blank, like the young man I described a few moments ago? Or is your picture of the future merely a bigger salary, a bigger house, and more exotic vacations, and a retirement to match? Or is your picture of the future bigger than that? Have you dared to dream larger than that? as large as John Lennon did? Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. I share your hope, John Lennon. But I wonder, have you hoped in the wrong ways? I wonder, have you hoped without God? Have you and have we imagined a future somehow growing out of our own efforts instead of a future that is shaped by God, designed by Him and inaugurated by Him? We of Southern Gables are involved in missions around this world because we have a hope, because we see a picture of the future. And it's a picture not painted by wishful thinking, even altruistic wishful thinking. It is a picture painted by God Himself of what the future will be. In Hebrews chapter 11, God gives a great list of historical characters who saw something that others, their contemporaries, did not see. But before listing some of those people in that great chapter, the author tells us how they saw what others did not see. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Just as our eyes are the physical organs by which we see things around us, so faith is the spiritual organ by which we see into the future. That is spiritual vision. They saw the future, and they were so convinced of it that it altered the way they lived. Verse 6, same chapter. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. God says faith is imperative. It is absolutely essential. But notice, the faith is not faith in faith, as if believing something strongly enough would make it happen. Verse 6 says faith is faith in God, believing that what God says will happen will actually happen. And here's the point. Though they could not see it with their physical eyes, and though some of them, most of them, all of them, would not see it in their lifetime, they conducted their lives, that is, they invested in the future because they believed it would absolutely come one day. What picture? What picture of the future is so compelling that people will give their lives to it even when they know they will not experience it in their lifetime? Here's how the Apostle John described it. Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. Can you picture that? Millions, maybe even billions of people standing before the throne of the Lord Jesus. I did the math, and you can do it too. If every person needed 8 square feet of space in which to stand, and 5 billion people were to stand side by side, each with 8 square feet, how much area would be required? 5 billion people could stand in an area between here and Colorado Springs and would only be 24 miles wide. Can you imagine it? And if a throne were to be elevated a few hundred feet, isn't it possible that every eye could see the Lord Jesus Christ? The Apostle John says, and he sees that day when millions, maybe billions, from every people group in the world will stand worshiping the Lord Jesus. And what will it be like? You know, this present earth is so beautiful in places and at times that we can hardly take it in. But the Apostle Peter says the new earth will make this present earth pale in comparison. What will it be like? In this place, only that which is just and right will take place. John said in Revelation 21, nothing impure will enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful. The sins of person against person, which we are so prone to commit, will be all gone. No slander, no gossip, no defaming, no lying, no cheating, abusing, hurting, all gone. All injustice that has been suffered, all of it made right. The wrong made right. What will it be like on the new earth? In Revelation 7 and 21, we are told that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more hunger or thirst or death or mourning or crying or pain. Imagine. Imagine all the people. And imagine those people standing and praising God. Yes, John Lennon, I can imagine. But what I can imagine is not wishful thinking. What I can imagine has been promised by God. That's why Vaughn and Deline Newcomb gave up a career and a family and friends in Denver and moved to Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan. Because they see the picture of those Kyrgyz people standing with us before that throne. That's why Wayne and Amy Losey are in Central Asia today, literally risking their lives, because they have a picture of those shepherd people standing among the millions or billions before the throne. That's why Peter and Stephanie Engel are working in a country that is openly hostile to the gospel, because they can see those tribal people standing before the throne that day. And that point can be illustrated over and over again by those who serve us in places around this world. Everyone lives with a picture of the future. May ours be shaped by God rather than merely shaped by selfishness or shaped by wishful thinking. May ours be worth living for because it's worth dying for. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you to stand with me, please, even as the musicians come. And I want you to imagine that day when we stand before the throne and praise Him together.
Lord, I stand in the midst of a multitude of those from every tribe and tongue. We are your people, heard by your God, rescued from death by your love. There are no words good enough to thank you. Sing from my heart with all of my strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah.